We're going to be reading today in Luke 11, verses 9 through 13, and Bailey's going to read verse 9 first.
And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and he shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you.
Amen to that. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Amen.
Well, you're a good-looking group. And for the first time in a long time, I didn't have to be at the prison all day today. But I did have to go home and change from the brownies into the blueies. My favorite color is blue. Anybody here, is that your favorite color? Oh, you've got a good thinking brain. Because I know from creation that blue is God's favorite color. There is more blue than green, orange, red, yellow, pink, you name it. Oh, wait a minute. Two-thirds of the earth is covered with water, and it's green. Good for it. And then you've got the grass, and you got the desert. Oh. But around this earth, which makes it bigger than this earth, is the sky, and it's blue. Amen. He could have made it any color. And blue represented royalty. Kings had it, blue robes, and gold on it looked real nice. And so I always liked blue. I was born with blue eyes, so that helped. But actually, you can only have blue eyes if your mother and your father had blue eyes. If one of them had a different color, you didn't get blue. Because you got the genetics from dad, blue eyes, the genetics from mother, blue eyes, but any other, blue eyes is not, it's got to be just right or you don't get it. Yeah, and they got big names for it, but anyway, I had a little fun finding a blue coat and pants that not only were blue, but that matched. You could fit in them. But I'm happy to be here. And I had to change my sermon. I got a smart daughter, and she helped me with the computer. Just giving me fits. I think once in a while, the devils take possession of computers and just harass you. But she gave me a book. And it's been around a long time, but it was written by a German, but they've translated it now. And it has been an outstanding thing for evangelism. Christ has not come because we haven't taken the gospel to all the world. We know that. And we can't take the gospel to all the world until we get the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the latter rain. You got to have the Holy Spirit. We have to come together and receive the Holy Spirit like the early disciples, and they went to all the known world, the Roman Empire. So it is a special study on the Holy Spirit, and that's why I chose as a little topic the Trinity mystery. Holy, 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 God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But about 300 years after Christ, a highly educated teacher in Egypt, Alexander, the city of Alexandria, decided that there is one God, that the Trinity was paganism, and his followers became known as Arians. We follow Arius. And it split the church. And most of the church at a big council, they stayed with the Trinity. But people began going into, and there are still Christians today who believe the Lord our God is one God. One is one. It's not two, it's not three, it's not 500, it's one. But one has another meaning to it. Unity. Jesus said to his disciples, I want you all to become one. And they're all different, different languages, different degrees, different this, different that. But right in the beginning in Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters, and the earth was without form or void. It was still dark. And even when light came, all you saw was water. You didn't know what was under it, but the Spirit moved on it. And on the sixth day, after everything had been created, God said, let us make man in our image. Us is not one.
Amen.
Not one. Well, he was talking to the angels. Adam and Eve were created in the image of God, not in the image of angels. And if they didn't get the message there, Adam's created. God has the Garden of Eden. That was made on the sixth day. And God said, now all these animals, I could name them. I could put the names of them in your perfect mind that only knows good, no evil. You name them. Whatever you think, you name them. And he saw all the animals, two by two, just like when they went in the ark, and he checked them over, and he realized that they were a little different. Some were bigger than others, the males usually, and some were prettier than others, the male usually, and some had to raise the kids, the females, that's great. But there was nobody like him. And when he realized he was alone, he was still happy, but I don't have anybody like me to talk to. So God put him to sleep. and took a rib out of his chest, the first surgical surgery done by God himself, and he didn't feel pain because he was in a deep sleep. So it's not wrong to take pain things because God started it. And everything was perfect. So he wakes up and there's Eve, and he had told Adam, this garden, you can eat from any tree you want, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the center of the garden, and the tree of life was there too. When you went to eat of the tree of life, well, this one I don't eat, but this one, yeah. And the penalty was death. Had Adam ever seen anything dead?
No.
Animals ate vegetarian. Grass, they could eat it. The grass didn't die. You could eat fruit, but the trees kept putting it on. Death. And the devil said, you won't die. So he had a choice. Who do you believe? God gave you everything, but he didn't give you the knowledge of evil. Only God has that. And look what happened to a serpent. When I ate, I can talk to you. You and I are different, but I can talk to you. I am higher than these other snakes. And when Eve saw, it was beautiful fruit, smelled nice. And it wasn't poison because the serpent had eaten it and he didn't die. That's in Desire of Ages, by the way. She ate. The knowledge of evil came in. But before that happened, when Eve was created, there was a wedding. God was in charge of it. And he said, husband and wife will become one flesh.
Amen.
That's unity. They just didn't absorb, and you saw one person there. Husband and wife became one. So if you say one is always one and don't use the scripture, then there's only one God. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, so it's at a disadvantage. Tri. It means three. But the word that is the closest to it is only three times in the Bible. Godhead. And in the handout that, you know, if I don't get through my outline, you can read those three verses that has the word Godhead, and they're practically saying what the Trinity says. In Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead.
Amen.
Well, when you think of something full, it's complete, you know. So, anyway, there is a mystery about the Holy Spirit that Jesus said, who should we pray to? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, when you pray, who do you pray to? God the Father. Have you ever prayed to Jesus? Sometimes. How many have prayed to the Holy Spirit? Once in a while. But he kind of gets left out. Because Christ said, pray to the Father and that. And so the mystery is, why is the Holy Spirit kind of left out of the Bible when he inspired people to write it? He could have written hundreds of scriptures about what he's like. or she is like. Or maybe there isn't, is God male or female? I don't know. But he doesn't push himself. We do get a little here, a little there, and it begins to work out that it's kind of nice. And one of the problems that we're having with it now are the modern versions. I know because we have the record of those 50-some of the finest English people in Oxford and their other big universities that knew Greek and Hebrew. The king was facing a split in his church. See, Henry VIII, he started a new church because the Pope only gave him one divorce, and he wanted a son. And the Pope says, you get a good Spanish woman, a princess, and you'll have a son. And all he got was sons. And the Pope wouldn't give him, so he made the Church of England. The Archbishop of Canterbury, he was the Pope for the English Church. There was the Bishop's Bible. The best scholars had this big Bible. But it was kind of close to what the Catholics believed. Then, and the Church of England had a lot of ordinances, and it was too Catholic. So some Christians went to Switzerland because they didn't like it in England, and they produced the Geneva Bible. And now that Bible, well, it was printed in English, but it's hard to read the letters and whatnot. So you can buy a Geneva Bible just like the New King James. And they began smuggling them into England, which made the king furious. They said, it's better than the bishops. So he said, I'll get a new translation. It'll be the best translation. And he got 50 or so of the best scholars. He gave them room and board. It took them several years, but they didn't get paid to do it. Anytime you read a new version, that person got paid, but not with the King James. And they published it, and everybody hated it. Nobody wanted the King James. The bishop is better than the King James, and it's the Geneva. So when the pilgrims got on the Mayflower to go to Jamestown, because they were losing people, fighting with the Indians, malaria, sickness, oh boy. And he needed more people going to Jamestown. He let the pilgrims who didn't want to come, he didn't want them in England. They were troublemakers. And in the church were the Puritans. They wanted to clean up the church, and the pilgrims wanted their own church. So they were persecuted. There was a storm, and they landed up in New England. They never made it down there. They searched the people who were going to work. They weren't pilgrims. They were just people owed money, or they could get out of jail if they would go to Jamestown. They didn't know how tough it was. And they searched everybody, and if they had a King James, I'll throw it in the ocean, the bay, or you can give it to somebody. It's not getting on the ship. But later, it became the most favorite, because it didn't have a lot of notes in it like the Geneva telling you this is what the Bible is saying. The king didn't want those notes. He says, that's what you think. Let them read it for themselves. Amen. And so it was a neutral Bible, but these new ones, they last for a few years and then nobody buys them. But they keep, oh, yeah, yeah, these are good, these are good. So I've stayed with the 1611, and I have a couple of verses that are text that I look at to make sure that they haven't been fiddling around with it. But recently, the New King James came out, and they made a big change in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, where Christ is telling his disciples, I'm going to be crucified. They didn't want to hear it. And he told them the Holy Spirit is coming, and he's going to do a lot. So I'm going to read it in the old King James. If you have a new King James, I'm going to read that too, and they're both in the handout. Christ says, if I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't come. We don't care about the Holy Spirit. If you've got Jesus, why do you need the Holy Spirit? You can't see the Holy Spirit. You can feel Christ. You can ask him any question. He knows it all. So he said, if I go, if I stay, the Holy Spirit, he'll always be around Jesus. Who wants to go to Africa with the Holy Spirit when you can stay in Palestine and Christ is right there? How are you going to get the message out? The Holy Spirit can be everywhere at the same time, working on an individual as if no one else existed. Christ now has bones and flesh. A spirit doesn't have bones and flesh. He no longer is everywhere at the same time. He can be that way through the Holy Spirit. He gave up, you know, omnipotent, all power, omniscient, all knowledge, and omnipresence. And he had a work to do up there as our high priest, and he had to prepare homes for us and so forth and so on. There were good reasons. So when the Holy Spirit is poured out, things are going to be a lot different. And that is coming. But this text, they have changed. Now, I'm going to read it in the old King James. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, that's an important thing. Not to have notes made by human beings. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth that we really need, present truth for that time, so we get closer to the Lord. Then comes the problem verse. But whatsoever, let's see, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Now, that's not what the King James New says. It did up until 1985, because we used to have a great evangelist, it is written, and when you came, they gave you the New King James, and it says, he shall not speak of himself. 3 years later, of himself was thrown out, and instead of that, they added a word which the King James, 1611, and the Geneva Bible, if they added a word, it was printed in italics, telling you it's not in the Greek, it's not in the Hebrew, but we think it explains it a little better, italics. And the word that they added was authority. So now you get a whole different meaning if you don't speak of yourself. You're not talking about yourself. The Holy Spirit doesn't tell us a lot about himself. He's telling us a lot about Jesus. Amen. That's the difference. But if the Holy Spirit doesn't have the authority, well, that sounds a little different, and I've got that in my note here. It isn't a huge change, but it makes the Holy Spirit look like? He's not really part of the Trinity. And what they have there is, I got it right down here, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, okay? He not speak of himself. New King James, 1985. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. The Holy Spirit doesn't have authority? Whew, I thought in Zechariah it said, not by might, not by strength, but by my Spirit.
Amen.
And here they're saying, he can't speak on his own. If he doesn't have authority, you got rid of the Trinity. And they promised when they made the new King James, they would stay with the old King James, but now I see they've added more words, and this one didn't make me feel too happy, because that isn't the way that it's supposed to be. Now, actually, the best way to interpret, what did he mean by, he will not speak of himself? Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, it's got two meanings, but the King James argued over it. No, this means it belongs to Jesus. This is his revelation. Well, that made sense. But the other one said, no. The revelation tells you more about Jesus than you get in the four Gospels. That's true, too. There are things in the book of Revelation about Jesus that aren't in the four Gospels. But he gave it to John, or the angel gave it to John. So you got to be careful. If you will look at the next verse, it can be New King James after 13. And verses are man-made. If they had kept 13 with 14, it would have been interpreted right there. He shall not speak of himself. Okay. And then it says, he will speak and he will show you things to come. He gives you prophecy. The next verse, he shall glorify me. Jesus is talking. His work was to glorify Jesus. And then you go back and you get some others, and he says, he will testify. The Comforter will testify of me. And that Holy Spirit inspired them to write this. He didn't say he will testify the Holy Spirit. And then you come to where he says, the Comforter will bring to your remembrance my words, Christ talking. Well, the most important thing in the Bible to know is, what did Jesus say? And the Holy Spirit helps you remember. He is very vital, but he is almost silent. Which brings up a history story that I'll close with. When the Pilgrims had a land up in New Bedford and Plymouth and whatnot, and they got going, they got a young man that was a soldier of fortune, Miles Standish. He was in charge of their little army. And they had some battles, and everybody looked up to him. They had another young guy, John Alden. And he was just a good young man, and him and Miles, they were good friends, but he wasn't in the army with them. And then there was Priscilla. And she was a young, handsome, young, beautiful lady. And Miles told John, I'm a soldier. I don't know how to talk to women. And I really want to marry that girl. And you just tell her what a great guy I am. He says, well, I'll do the best I can. So whenever he was invited over, he would always, he said, Miles Standish told me this story about the thing and how he saved some women and children. And every chance. Or they'd go for a walk where he could talk more to her alone about Miles Standish, and time went on. Oh, yeah, she's listening. And he says, oh, boy, just keep it going, keep it going. And one day they were sitting and looking at the sun and the thing, and he starts, he said, you know, any girl that marries Miles Standish, they're going to have great children, and they're going to be protected. And she stood up and yelled at him, speak for yourself, John! He got the message. He had fallen in love with her. She'd fallen in love with him. And Longfellow wrote a poem about it, and it's kind of a, if you know your history, you may have read that poem. The Holy Spirit will help us glorify Christ.
Amen.
He will help us lift up Christ,
amen,
who saves us. And we're waiting for it, and I think it's going to be coming pretty soon.
Yes.
Well, it's time for our closing song, and if you notice the words, I forgot one important parable that Jesus told. He said, he's talking to people, he said, you fathers, your son asks you for bread, do you say, here, son, and you hand him a rock? No, we don't do that. Okay. Well, suppose he wants some fish. Do you find a snake? No, we don't do that. He said, if you, evil fathers, know how to give your children good food, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?
Amen.
You ask God, you pray about it, make this song a prayer that you want the Holy Spirit to do the words that are in the song, and then we'll have the benediction.
And turn in your hymnals to number 326. Open my eyes that I may see. Open my eyes that I may see. Glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit. Truth thou sendest clear, and while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit. Mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children lost to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit divine.
Father in heaven, we know how much the Holy Spirit helped your son. And we know that for each and every one of us, he has not only gifts, but he has fruits.
Amen.
And that he also gives us the words to speak.
Yes.
And Father, we're kind of tired of being on this old earth, and it isn't getting any better. And I know your son wants to come, and the angels, but he wants everyone to hear the pure gospel, the third angel's message.
Yes.
And when we can get together as one, like the early disciples did, And then Pentecost, we ask in Jesus' name that you will soon pour out your Spirit upon your people. And again, thank you for being a loving Father and for taking care of us. And we thank you in the name of Christ. Amen.